out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 27th of August 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, the big news at the moment seems to be this infiltration of Generation Identity, the UK branch. For listeners that weren't aware of it, Hope Not Hate once again embedded a spy within the nationalist organisation, GI, with the anticipation of disrupting their activities, basically stalking and harassment. And what they managed to get from GI was that two of their members are in the Navy and they work on Trident submarines. So, of course, this has been a big news story, and they're trying to make out that Generation Identity are trying to infiltrate the Navy, and they're in these important positions with nuclear submarines. And, of course, it's very likely that a lot of people with nationalist sympathies are in the Navy or the Army, because you join the Navy and the Army to defend your country. So it's bound to be full of patriots. But that hasn't stopped the newspapers from reporting on this. And you think, well, how did they find this out? How did they find this out? Surely people should know that when they go to meetings or whatever and they meet up with other nationalists, that it's not a good idea to tell them if you work in the services or if you work in the forces. Nobody needs to know your second name. Nobody needs to know exactly where you live or exactly what you do. And apparently it's actually a policy of Generation Identity to get people to give out their real names. And it turns out that it was the actual leader of Generation Identity who just freely offered up this information to the spy. Now, I had high hopes for GI. Listening to their representatives speaking, they seem intelligent people. When I've seen documentaries on them before, they've always come across well, intelligent. And because they had this support group, this extra group of people that were too old to actually be in GI, I thought, well, that's good. They're taking advice from older people. It's not just young people leading other young people, which is really, I think, what caused the problems for National Action. It was young people leading young people with no experience there. And you could probably say the same possibly happened with young BNP and these other youth organizations. So I really had hope that GI was going to be something different. But they really can't have had much experienced help if they think that it's a good idea to be giving out information like that. And also, the spy himself was taken on as the photographer. Now, this is something that people need to be aware of. Looking back through the history of these spies, there's been quite a few instances where they've got themselves into important positions, dealing with accounts, dealing with membership lists, being the photographer. And this is because people don't want to do those sort of jobs. They don't want to deal with the with all the logistics. They don't want to deal with the paperwork. So nobody volunteers. So the spy volunteers, and of course they're very keen to do it, so they get the job. So that's one thing that people should be aware of. If you're going to have somebody in an important position, like a photographer, you want to make certain that you trust them. This person was also a Jew. And I'm sensing a bit of a pattern here, because when they infiltrated the London Forum, they sent in a homosexual. With Generation Identity, they've sent in a Jew. They may very well try to send in somebody mixed race the next time they send a spy in. Because when they do things like that, it's like, we should have known better. We should have known better than to trust these people, because they already have something which says that they're going to be against nationalism and against traditionalism, and yet they were accepted in. This Jew was accepted into Generation Identity, which exposes a flaw, really, that they shouldn't be letting in people that aren't white. Anyway, it's just it's a shame, really, because I did have high hopes for Generation Identity, and I thought Ben Jones seemed like a good leader. I guess he still does. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. And it's such a despicable thing to do, to pretend to be friends with somebody and then stab them in the back, which is basically what Hope Not Hate does. They stalk people, and they harass people, and they secretly film them, and then they put them in the newspapers for having a different opinion. And it's absolutely disgusting. I don't know how the people that can do it can sleep at night knowing that that's what they do. It's like these people that befriend the elderly so that they can then rip them off. It's the same mentality, to befriend nationalists so that you can then stab them in the back. Anyway, that's not the main thing that I wanted to talk about today. Last week, we had a news segment, and it was on the BBC, it was on Sky, it was on ITV. Red Ice have spoken about it. And it was basically a news segment about shipping containers being used for housing. Now, I don't see what's wrong with the shipping containers used for housing. They're huge containers for people that can't get on the housing ladder. Buying a shipping container and putting it in a field seems to me to be rather a sensible option. There are a lot of people that would love to have their own shipping container and put it on their own bit of land. But that wasn't what this program was about. This program was about whining, complaining Somalians, whining that this wasn't good enough for them. Bear in mind that these people come from countries where they live in mud huts. And they had this one particular Somalian on there that was whining about this. She had four kids with her. Four kids. She was obviously some kind of asylum seeker, had come here begging for help, only to then whine and complain that it wasn't good enough. There was no dad there. There was no father of the household there to provide for them. She was obviously not working, all on benefits. She complained that she had a 19-year-old retard living there. And the retard was making all these noises. Well, why would she have a 19-year-old retard? Probably because she married her cousin. And since she has a retard, he'll be getting disablement benefit. He'll be getting lots of welfare money for that. Still not good enough for her. She was demanding to be rehoused. She was saying that this shipping container was not fit for humans. It was fit for animals. It was just fit for storage, and she wasn't storage. She was a human being. Well, why doesn't she go back to her own country and ask them to look after her? Why should we have to look after her? As I say, I know people that would love to live in a shipping container. People can't afford to get on the housing anymore. They can't afford to buy houses. And a lot of people just dream of buying a plot of land and putting a mobile home on it, or a trailer. In actual fact, those shipping containers, you can dig a hole in the ground, you can put the shipping container in there, and you could put turf over the top of it. You could have a secret house. You could have an underground house with a trap door that you get into. There are all sorts of things that you could actually do with a shipping container. And they're not that different from the prefab housing that was erected after the war, that were the homes for heroes that actually came back from the war. And people were quite happy to live in them. It meant that they had their own bit of property. Now, I've got a news report here, which is to do with this. And of course, it was a black interviewer that was interviewing her, and we were all supposed to feel sorry for her, but I think this news report would have had the opposite effect. I think it would have incensed the British people to see this ungrateful wretch that seemed to think that she should be put up in a posh house and given everything that white people have to scrimp and save for and work all their lives to pay for. And this is from that article. Another resident, who preferred not to be named, said she cried after arriving at the containers, having previously lived in the Calais jungle. Well, we've seen what the Calais jungle was like. It was just mud. Mud and living in tents. And they're taken from living in mud and living in tents, and they're given this perfect container, which is perfectly fine to live in. And apparently they cried. Well, why would they be crying? What were they expecting? Were they expecting some kind of palace that they were going to be able to move into? The council put me in here, she said. It's better than Calais, but no one wishes to live in a container, especially when you have kids. When I got here and saw all of this, the container, I was crying. Well, what a spoilt brat. What an absolute spoilt brat. A mother of one, the 29-year-old, said the conditions inside the container were worse than in Eritrea and Sudan when she was living in a, quote, normal house. So when she was living in a dung hut. Well, why did she come over here then? Why did she come over here if conditions over here are worse than in Eritrea and Sudan? They're clearly better than living in the Calais jungle. She said, sometimes in here it's damp with mould, even making water for the tea. You have to open the window because of the steam. Well, you have to open the window because of the steam. Wherever you've got steam. She said, it's green inside the windows and even inside the bed. Good. I hope it makes her so uncomfortable she has to leave. An Ealing Council spokesman said Ealing Council was one of the first local authorities in the country to use innovative modular homes as temporary accommodation. Well, these temporary homes that they call temporary homes, people live in them for years. People live in caravans, they live in motorhomes, mobile homes, shipping containers, people live on canal boats. People live wherever they can, wherever they can afford to live. This refugee obviously isn't working, obviously doesn't have to pay for any of this, and she just expects to be given everything for free off the back of the white man's hard work and scrimping and saving that our ancestors did to build up the wealth that we have. Sudan and Eritrea have no wealth. Even though they have, what, oil, diamonds, whatever it is they've got there, they're not capable of extracting that wealth. All they're capable of doing is extracting the wealth from us. Ealing Council say, made from heavily modified, remember, shipping containers, the homes offer a stable, comfortable environment for vulnerable homeless families who have nowhere else to go. Why have they got these Negroes in there? I bet there are vulnerable homeless veterans that would love to live in one of these brand new shipping container homes. While we would rather offer people the opportunity to live in genuinely affordable permanent homes, the housing crisis means we have no choice but to use temporary accommodation to house the sheer volume of homeless households that present to us. She's not homeless. She's got a home in Eritrea. She passed through countless countries before she got to Britain to claim asylum, pretending that she was fleeing the war in France, I guess. And why is it we have this housing crisis? The reason we have the housing crisis is because we have so many people like this scrounger that have invaded our country demanding to be housed and fed. Where do they get this idea from that we are the people that should be providing everything for them? Let's have a look at this housing crisis. Let's go and have a look at the Migration Watch website. Migration Watch are the official think tank that look at migration in Britain, because they've got some statistics that explain all of this. The UK has a housing crisis because supply is insufficient for current population growth. Home ownership is falling and a growing number of young people have to live with their parents due to high rents. Imagine the amount of young people, young white people that have jobs that are having to live at home with their parents because they can't afford to pay the rent, they can't afford to pay the mortgage, and they would love to be able to afford to buy a shipping container or be able to just pay the low rent that the council charges on those shipping containers. But they can't because they have a job and because they have parents here, and the council say, well, your parents can help you. Immigration is a critical factor. For example, it drove up house prices in England by about 20% between 1991 and 2016. That's from a government bulletin, April 2018. So you've got a direct correlation there between people coming into the country and the house prices going up by a huge rate, and effectively pricing out anybody that actually lives in the area from being able to buy their own home. And when you think about the actual population growth, white people are not producing enough to replace ourselves. And since we're not producing enough to replace ourselves, we shouldn't need to be building any new houses. We shouldn't have a housing crisis. There should be more houses in the country to go around than there are people, because we're not producing enough to replace ourselves. So all the new houses that are having to be built are all going on these foreigners. ONS data for a recent 10-year period shows that more than 90% of added households in England had a non-UK-born head. 90% of the new households have a foreigner at the head of the household. And who is it that's building all these houses? It's the white man that's building all these houses for foreigners to live in, not for our own people to live in. Immigration to England at current levels will generate the need to build one home every 6 minutes, every night and every day. And that means they're going to have to build on all the greenbelt land, all the lovely greenery that we see, the forests, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers. They're all going to have to be concreted over so that we can house these savages that think that it's their right to be given a house. Even this underestimates the impact of immigration on future housing demand, since it only takes account of future arrivals. While the relatively young age structure of the existing non-UK born population means that this will also drive future household growth. So that one house every 6 minutes is just based on what they expect to keep getting in immigration. None of that's actually based on the amount of offspring that the ones that are already here are going to produce. And don't forget, the Negroes produce up to 6 or 8 children, each of them. I think that's the average amount of children that they have in the Congo, places like that. They are literally just expecting the white man to pay for everything. It's just like when they were slaves. When they were slaves, the slave owner had to pay for the houses, for their housing, it had to pay for their clothes, had to pay to look after their young, had to pay for them when they were incapacitated, had to pay for them in their old age. All of those things now are provided by the welfare, only the Negroes don't actually have to do anything in exchange for that. When we had slavery, they had to work in exchange for everything that the welfare state now provides for them. So they still expect the white man to provide everything, but they no longer expect to have to work for it. This is the reason why we had slavery in the first place, is because they weren't capable of doing these things for themselves. And we've told them that they're just born with this right of the white man doing everything for them. I mean, the sense of entitlement that this Negro had in this news report about it, I'm certain that news report will just inflame all the white people that live in the country at how ungrateful this Negro was. You think of all these poor whites that are still having to live at home with their parents because they can't afford a house, because the price of the houses has gone up so much. And the people that actually benefited from that, I mean, they thought it was great. Oh, isn't it wonderful? This house that we bought for £1,000 in the 60s is now worth £1 million. We're millionaires. They don't realise that means that their children are never going to be able to afford to buy a house, and their children are going to be living with them the whole time, where people have been encouraged to see themselves as individuals instead of seeing themselves as part of a nation and realizing the problems that are going to be caused further down the road with this invasion. This is just the start of it. Every 6 minutes, we have to build a house for our black overlords. The UK housing crisis must be addressed, but not by building on the UK's green belt and eating up our countryside. A major reduction in immigration has to be a significant part of the solution, in addition to improvements in the supply of housing. Again, this is what Migration Watch are saying. We need to stop all immigration, and we need to start sending the ones that are here back. We have a limited territory. We can only provide a limited amount of resources, and we are importing competitors with us for those resources. Their logic doesn't add up. They claim that they are of some kind of benefit to the economy. The only benefit to the economy they are is the economy grows because they have to create more money to pay out to these people. The budget has to be bigger for the money that they borrow from the banks. Taxes have to go up. And they're just a drain on the economy. But the way that they look at the economy, as in debt, the more debt there is, the more the banks are owed, and the more the banks are owed, the more money there is for the country. When you look at things like that in that upside down way, then it suddenly becomes a benefit to have all these foreigners here. But it's not. It's just more debt, more and more and more debt. And the only people that actually pay that debt back are the white people. A majority, 54% of those who say there is a housing crisis, see immigration as the main reason. And that's from a parliamentary briefing, 2017. Those who say there is a housing crisis, I mean, that implies that there are people who don't think that there is a housing crisis. There are people that think that we can somehow funnel even more people into the country and that we will still be able to take care of them. I don't understand where this idea comes from, that we should be taking care of them. I was always brought up to believe that you had to work to provide a roof over your head. You had to work hard and you had to save money, and then you could buy your own house. And yet these people just come here and they just assume that the government is going to provide everything for them and that they have this entitlement. They have this human right for the British government to provide everything for them. And much as the government and the Conservative Party talk about reducing immigration, they never do. They never do. They're talking at the moment about having this points-based system, and they're highlighting the fact that we're going to be encouraging people to come here from all over the world if they have the qualifications. What they should be talking about is sending back the ones that we have here already. We don't need to be importing people from all around the world. The best investment a country can make is in its own people. Viktor Orban knows that. He's encouraging his people to produce more Hungarians. Salvini is encouraging Italians to produce more Italians. And Putin is encouraging Russians to produce more Russians, because they understand that they are the greatest value that a country has is in its own people. These foreigners, whatever money they make, is going to be sent back to their family in Africa. And if it's not being sent back to their family in Africa, that will be because they have imported the family from Africa into Britain, where every one of them will be a drain on the system. It's not just the housing, is it? It's the education. It's the hospitals. It's the waiting lists to get into the hospital now. It's the incompetence that you see everywhere. The gross incompetence in the medical institutions, and the people dying because of the low IQ of the doctors treating them. The white kids at school that are being bullied. And if they're lucky enough not to be bullied, then they're going to be held back to the level of the Negroes in the class with their low IQ, because you can only move forward in the classroom at the pace of the slowest learner. Never mind the fact that you might have a gap of 30 points on that IQ between the white kids and the black kids. Everything's going to have to go at the pace of that low IQ black kid that can't learn joined up writing yet. Then you've got the infiltration of the white families and the miscegenation that goes on, destroying the genetic integrity of the ethnic nation, of the indigenous people of Britain. That's the most insidious thing about this, is the taking away from the white ancestors, their descendants. Once you've miscegenated, they're not your ancestors anymore. And the ancestor, that line of that ancestral tree that's broken off, is a dead branch on the family tree. The side effects of this are horrific from this invasion. And nobody in government is properly speaking about this. I mean, even the head of this Migration Watch is Alf Mimmitt, his name is. He's not even white. White people need to be speaking up for the interests of whites. 55% of 18 to 24-year-olds support the government's promise to reduce the immigration by a significant amount. Well, as I've said, the government have promised to reduce immigration for the last 50 years. Richard Edmonds regularly talks about it. He's in his late 60s. He's been a nationalist for 50 years. He's seen every one of those governments come and go, and every single one of those governments has promised that there was going to be a reduction in immigration, and every single one of those governments has failed on their promises. They've broken their promises, and they've increased immigration. Think of David Cameron. We're going to reduce immigration to 10,000 people a year. Total failure. It was hundreds of thousands of people a year when he was Prime Minister with his sidekick, Theresa May, as Home Secretary. I mean, a big hope for Boris Johnson was that he was going to put someone good as Home Secretary, and instead he's put Priti Patel in there. Well, who are her loyalties to? Her loyalties are to the Indians. Her loyalties are to India. So the first thing she does when she becomes Home Secretary, she says, we're going to have a point, I'm going to be hard on immigration, we're going to have a points-based system, which is going to be open up to everyone in the world. How is that hard on immigration? She can't be hard on immigration because it would harm her own people. You've got divided loyalties there. We need to have a white government for the white people and a white country. Otherwise, you're going to have people that are working for their own best interests, and everybody's working for their own best interests, and it doesn't serve anyone. How does it serve India to have all the bright Indians come to Britain? It doesn't. We see this problem in Europe particularly, where you've got the bright Hungarians and the bright Romanians and the bright Polish, and they're all coming to Britain, and those countries have had a significant brain drain. This no borders and free immigration, it doesn't help anyone. It helps the rich industrialists at the top because they get lower wages. But as far as the country as a whole is concerned, the other 99% live in a hellhole. At least 55% of young people support this government's promise, but I should imagine it's probably about 55 or 60% of the country want to stop to immigration anyway. Immigration is a key factor in rising housing costs. That was admitted by Channel 4 News. June 2018. See, there is a direct correlation between this housing crisis, the so-called housing crisis, which wouldn't be a crisis if we didn't have all these foreigners here, the direct correlation between that and immigration. And nobody is speaking about that. They blame the fact that the government haven't built enough houses for them. This scrounging Eritrean refugee blames the government for not providing a good enough house for them, when they're living in a house that somebody who was working and that was living having to live at home with their parents, they would love to live in one of these housing containers. They would love to do it up and make it personal and feel like their own, and they wouldn't care that it was temporary. They would be quite happy to stay in it for the rest of their lives, I'm sure. I mean, you could put one of these housing containers wherever you wanted to buy a plot of land. It's the sort of thing that people save up for, the sort of thing that is within people's reach nowadays. An aspiring young white man might think, well, I can't afford £100,000 for a house, but maybe if I worked hard, I could afford £10,000 or £15,000 for a small plot of land, and then I'd just have to hire a digger and push down the hedge and put down a bit of gravel, lay a bit of hard standing, and then I could put one of these housing containers there. And that's it. Connected up to the water, connected up to the electric. You got a house there. And you own it. And you own the land that it's on. It's the sort of thing that a lot of youngsters probably dream of doing. And it's not good enough for the black refugees, though. They're upper class, you see. They're the new elite. They have to be given the best of everything. In actual fact, that news piece showing these shipping containers, I would hope that actually gives young white people some ideas of what they could do to get themselves out from living at their parents and to live an independent life. And once you've got a place like that, you wouldn't have to pay any rent. And I should guess, I mean, I don't know the exact figures, but I expect probably about 60% of people's wages actually go on rent. And if you manage to buy a plot of land and stick a shipping container on it, that's half your wages. That's all yours again. 100% of your wages is your own. It's a good idea. Maybe people listening to this podcast might try and do that. And it could help them get away from the multicultural city centres as well. You buy yourself a rural plot of land. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Arrow.